During the Second World War, a general and a young sergeant were travelling across England from their barracks to a camp. And because of circumstances, they weren't just travelling in a military train, they were forced to travel with civilians aboard a passenger train. When they boarded, they found two spare seats in a compartment in which two other people were already seated, an attractive young woman and her grandmother. For most of the journey, the four passengers in the compartment talked freely. Then at one point, the train entered a long and a rather dark tunnel. Who knows? Could it have even been the one at Catesby? And as it was some time ago, there were no lights in the train carriage. In the darkness, the four passengers heard two distinct sounds. The first was a smooch of a kiss, and the second was a slap of a face. And then the train was once again out into the bright sunlight. And we find four people with four differing perspectives. The young woman is thinking how glad she was that the handsome young sergeant plucked up the courage to kiss her, but she's somewhat disappointed at her grandmother for slapping him. The general is thinking how proud he is of his young sergeant for being enterprising enough to find this opportunity to kiss the attractive young woman, but he's flabbergasted that she slapped him instead of her, instead of the sergeant. The grandmother is outraged to think that the young sergeant would have had the gall to kiss her granddaughter, but she's proud of her granddaughter for slapping him. And the young sergeant? Well, he's trying to stifle a good hearty laugh because he's found the perfect opportunity to kiss an attractive young woman and slap his superior officer and get away with both of it. Well, you know, there are some things that we like to do in secret. And maybe after last week's talk, you thought that Christianity should be one of those things. After all, Jesus has described quite a tough list of things which mark out how his disciples should live. And what will be the result if we do? Well, we found out last week, it's persecution, it's insult, it's slander. Frankly, you would expect that when it comes to our faith, Jesus would now say that we need to take a leaf out of Gandalf's book. You know, when he goes to see Frodo Baggins about the ring. Is it secret? Is it safe? He asks. Surely, living out the Christian life is so risky, we ought to take a little care. You know, keep our faith secret, keep ourselves safe. But actually, Jesus tells us just the opposite. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, he tells us that we should be overtly Christian, that we should be obviously Christian, quite clearly and unashamedly Christian. We should stand out like a sore thumb. So we're going to look at the two things he tells us to be, salt and light. Now these days, salt has got a bit of a bad name. Your GDA, your guideline daily amount, is 6 grams. Not very much, is it really? And we go to quite a lot of effort to cut down on how much salt we take in, because we know that too much salt is bad for us. So when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, does he mean that we need to be responsible for aggravating asthma, gastric cancer, kidney stones, osteoporosis, strokes, and just generally raising people's blood pressure? Well, no. Although it's long been known that too much salt is bad for you, 2,000 years ago, salt had a slightly better reputation. It had a more positive purpose. Before refrigerators and freezers and vacuum packing and protective atmospheres, salt was used as a preservative. Salt would be rubbed into food like meat to stop it from going off while it was stockpiled over the winter, stopped bacterial growth which would ruin it and harm people. In other words, salt's primary purpose was to stop the rot. Now, if living out the Beatitudes is going to annoy some people, that's because they're living rotten lifestyles. And don't just sort of think of the extremes here. Don't be thinking they're drug pushers, they're adulterers, they're child abusers. I mean just people generally living lives which deny God. Lives which don't give him the glory. Which don't acknowledge God. Those are lives which are rotten. So although being a Christian has a cost, and on average, 19 Christians will be martyred today during the hour that we meet here, and then another 19 in the hour between this service and Badby's, and another 19 in the hour that Badby's service takes place, and so on, every day. Although being a Christian has a cost, our collective job is to stop the spread of rottenness in this world by living out God-glorifying lives. And as we do that, there's an added bonus, because we're going to give the world real flavour. If you add salt to something, it brings out the full flavour. There was a study done not that long ago that, you know, all the supermarkets have their kind of finest range, or their tastes better range, and they discovered that a lot of that, basically, it's just got a little bit more salt in it than the standard range. So salt brings out the flavour in things and makes them more enjoyable. And life with God and God's people has all the flavour that our lives need. But look at verse 13, there's a warning there too. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Now you and I know that salt can't lose its saltiness. We had until recently a thing of salt, a container, that's the word I'm looking for, container of salt that we'd had pretty much since we were sort of first married. We don't use that much salt in cooking. We use a bit of the old one, but the sort of the standard salt. It doesn't lose its saltiness ever. It's fine, you could keep it forever and a day. So what does Jesus mean by this? Well, Edmund Burke famously said that all that's necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. And the greatest evil in the world is sin. If we don't tackle the rot in the world, if we don't act like salt, as we're supposed to be, then evil will reign unchecked until Christ returns. That's bad news. It's bad for the world. It means we're not witnessing, we're not living out our Christian lives. And that's what Jesus is warning about here. Because it would mean that actually we've allowed ourselves to kind of absorb a godless world, and we're just letting it get on with being a godless world. We're doing nothing. So we've become adulterated by it, if you like. And if you adulterate salt, if you mix it with, you know, dirt or sand or dust, well, there's no way then that you can sift the salt out, is there? You just brush it up and throw it out. It's no good anymore. So Jesus' point is, if we get mixed together with the rubbish and the dross of the world, the attitudes and the godlessness, then we'll be indistinguishable from non-Christians. We'll be of no use to God at all. We're not really living as his people. So we need to stay salty. Secondly, we're to be light. And we need light in the world. Back in the days before electricity, the story is told of a tight-fisted old farmer who was taking his hired man to task for going off to see his girlfriend with a lighted lantern at night. "Why," he exclaimed, "ah, when I went a-courting," because he was in America, "I never carried one of them expensive things filled with oil that you ever got to buy, got to spend and waste your money on, son. I was went in the dark." "Yes," replied the hired man, "and look what you got." Well, in this rotten world, Jesus tells us that we need to be a shining presence of God to show up the mistakes that the world is making. Our job is not only to preserve, it's to illuminate, and it's to give hope. In Jesus' day, the dark of the night could have been total, as it can be, you know, around some of our villages once you get sort of beyond the streetlights. But in the darkness such as that, a city on a hill would be visible for miles. When I look out of our window at home, I can see, I'm pretty sure in the distance, it's beyond Daventry. I think it must be Rugby, sort of in the far horizon, lighting up the night sky. The message that Jesus gives us here is that the world is in spiritual darkness because of sin and rebellion against God. And in such a world, we need to be a light, a boldly unashamed light. And it's important to remember who Jesus is talking to here. He's talking to ordinary people, normal people, uneducated people. As Michael Eaton puts it in his commentary, the Christian faith is a people's movement, not just for elite people or scholars or religious officials. And it's the ordinary people, the normal people of God, you and me, who are to shine in the dark world like a city on a hill which can't be hidden. We're to be like a light which is put on a stand and gives light to everyone in the house. Because Jesus says in verse 16, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise you? No, and praise your Father in heaven. And if you read these verses, you can't help but be struck by the fact that Jesus gives us no option here. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. Our Ephesians reading reminded us that we've moved from darkness to light by becoming Christians, and not to go back to being in darkness, not to mix our saltiness with the dirt and the dross and the rubbish. If we're Jesus' followers, we have to behave in those ways of being salt and light for the world. Because salt which has become adulterated will be thrown out, and a hidden lamp that's gone dark or under a bowl will eventually suffocate and go out. So we can't call ourselves Christian and not be living radical and even dangerous lives for Jesus in this world. We can't refuse to ever stick our head over the parapet. As followers of Jesus, we're going to raise a few blood pressures here and there, not on purpose, but just simply by being salt and light. We're going to dazzle a few others with the glory of God, but that's how life with Jesus is to be lived. If in the few minutes since I started speaking, five people somewhere in the world have kept their faith in Jesus as Lord and Saviour and have been killed as a result of that, for that faith, then I'm sure that I can have the guts in our society to start living as salt and light. How about you? Amen.